This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode 100, Shoot in Any Light, But Keep on Shooting. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 100th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and as always, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. For today's show, we are coming from Parc des Pelicans. And again, if there's ambient noise, sorry about that, but I think the ambient noises are starting to become part of the podcast anyway. So for today's show, this 100th podcast, it's going to be Shoot in Any Light, Just Keep on Shooting. And I'm so thrilled to be doing this 100th podcast. But as always, I like to thank people for their last comments on podcast number 99, where we talked about controlling brightness, and Rob Van Elven, Rich, Anuj, Photo Art Cafe, and Best all left comments. And as always, the comments are appreciated. So before continuing on to today's topic, this is our 100th podcast. I can't friggin' believe this, but 100 of these are now in the can, as they say. It's been a total treat creating these podcasts. And basically, I just want to thank a lot of people before we get into today's podcast. Most of all, and first off, I really want to thank all the listeners. There are thousands of you now downloading the podcasts. It's such a treat for me that the podcast has become somewhat popular, and it's getting more popular by the month. And really, it's thanks to the listeners and the commentators, people that are sending me emails, photography.ca@gmail.com. So many people have sent me emails. Thank you so much. It's really appreciated. Thank you for the encouragement. All the encouragement that people show just makes doing this so much better and so much easier. So thanks again to all the listeners. I'd really like to thank all the guests for sharing their knowledge so effortlessly. So many of our guests have shared like their secrets in quotation marks. Some photographers guard their style and technique and methods of doing things in a very protective way. And the vast majority of the guests that I've had on this show have really been really, really gracious in sharing their knowledge so freely. And that's, again, part of the real thrill for me is talking to people one-to-one, you know, finding out what turns them on photographically, so to speak. That really turns me on as well. So I'd really like to take just a moment to thank the following people. Laszlo of Montreal, Darwin Wiggett, Joyce Tennyson, Michael Greco, Jay Mizell, Patrick Rochon, Michael Orton, Dominic Fizzotto, Joe Brady, Joseph Cartwright, Phil Borges, Kevin Kubota, Vicky Reed, Raphael Goldchain, Jolene Monheim, Andre Nantel, Ann Dahlgren, and Dita Kubin. I sure as heck hope I didn't leave anyone out, but if I did, mucho sorry, and I will add the appropriate link in the show notes. Just as a little FYI, more interviews are planned for future podcasts, and podcast number 101 should be another interview with a superb, master, artistic landscape photographer. Enough said, stay tuned. Quite a few people offered suggestions on what this 100th podcast should contain. A few suggested outtakes or bloopers. Some suggested talking about myself, but none of those ideas really lit a fire under my belly. So for a while, I thought of doing like 100 tips or a list of 100 ideas or the 100 best photographers, but that really hurt my brain quite a bit. So then last week, I was sitting on my balcony having my second morning coffee. It's 9 o'clock and the sun was shining really, really brightly in my face. And I'm thinking, bad light. And part of that was just an instinctive reaction. I have really, really sensitive eyes actually. And I wear sunglasses 365 days of the year. So like brightness is always a factor for me. And I'm always protecting my eyes. And I didn't have my sunglasses on me. So I just turned my head to the sun. And as I do that, I notice that the leaves on the tree to my side, I'm on the third floor and the tree goes all the way to the third floor. So the sun was backlighting the leaves in such a way that it made for a beautiful, beautiful scene. And I thought to myself again, and I've even podcasted on this very topic, that, oh my God, that's gorgeous light. So from really bad light to just changing your position, all of a sudden I say really gorgeous light. And then I smile to myself because I think the topic is really apropos for a 100th podcast. That basically when your mind is open, there is no bad light as long as you stay creative. So if you stay creative and there is no bad light, you can always just keep on shooting, which is the saying I usually end the show with. So I thought it was kind of perfect. And so that's the topic for the 100th podcast. Shoot in any kind of light. The only caveat to shooting in any type of light is to make sure the subject matter suits that light. If it doesn't, then shoot something else, but keep on shooting. So hard, direct, sun, daylight. We talked about this in podcast number 97, but in case anyone missed it, the conclusion for this particular podcast, the one we're doing now, is that many subjects suit harsh light or harsh daylight. Many subjects. You just have to be creative and find them. Now, these subjects are not likely to be landscapes or portraits unless you are going for special looks, and this is because those subjects tend to look bad with the harsh shadows that are part and parcel of hard light. So the trick here is going to be, under those conditions, is to look for those subjects where the harsh shadows work. And in my experience, those scenes that contain a simpler geometric lines and curves, not too busy scenes, those often look very good with harsh shadows. So just imagine the following scene. Imagine a person looking through a chain link fence with the sun in a frontal position above, maybe not directly above, at a slight angle. Now, with the harsh sun angled in this way, it's going to create these cool shadows of the fence. You know, the sun will hit the fence and the fence will create shadows on the pavement. And if you're shooting at a cool angle, this is going to frame the subject in a great way. It's going to add a cool layer to the background. You can play with focusing on that person's eyes through the chain link fence. I don't even know why this image came to me, but it did. But it's just one example of jillions. Under those conditions, go out and search for simpler scenes, maybe those with geometric shapes, and see what you get. And I guarantee that if you play around a little bit, you're going to find something you like. Maybe even turn it into a black and white print at the end of the day. It's up to you, but go out there and search for the subjects that suit the light. And if that doesn't float your boat, then in an identical way to, you know, my backlit leaves story, just go out there and search for an area like a tall building or a canopy or something that blocks the light in some way that changes the quality of the light. That changes the direction of the light, that changes the light in some way that all of a sudden the harsh light is not harsh, and holy moly, you're looking at a lower contrast scene now and you see something that captures your eye. But don't automatically neglect or discount going out from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. just because the sun is harsh and bright. There's always stuff to shoot, always. Another one is rain. You know, a lot of people live in rainy cities where it's cloudy all the time and it's raining, and they use that as an excuse to stay indoors. Many photographers are total wimps when it comes to rain and going out in the rain. And holy moly, just get over it. Get some good rain gear, get some good camera protection, and just get out there. In podcast number 88, we talked about shooting in the rain. And we talked about the fact that colors pop harder in the rain. They're much more saturated when it's raining and there's overcast skies. And they pop harder because of this reduced contrast of the light. In terms of protecting your gear, I mentioned like rain sleeves are like $12 and they protect your camera quite well. I've shot tons of times with this rain sleeve. It's not as convenient to shooting without it, but you can get good, solid shots. I put the camera on a tripod and you get seriously saturated colors. Shoot puddles, shoot reflections. Rain photography is amazing. Shoot people. Everyone's got an umbrella when it rains. Umbrellas are colorful. Shoot the colors of umbrellas. Shoot flowers and foliage, which are so rich with color on rainy, overcast days. But try get a bit more courageous. Just protect you, protect your gear, get out there and keep on shooting. If you're more of a studio person and you want to experiment, you can get by on very, very little gear and still play really, really hard and get creative. Even if all you have is one portable flash attached to the camera, there is a lot of play possible. Yes, you need some minimal equipment, but it's very minimal. At the beginning, it's just a DSLR and a portable flash that you could get cheaply. You don't have to buy a name brand. You can get third party. You can get used. Don't spend a lot of money, especially when you're just learning. You could learn a lot cheaply, and then buy the good gear if the play suits you. So back to portable flashes for just a sec. Just make sure that the portable flash you get, the head should be able to rotate. That is essential. You need a head that can rotate. When you have on direct camera flash, yes, you get a picture. But if the flash is always shooting from the front, it's just harsh direct light all the time. Of course, it has its place, but of course, you want to vary it from time to time. So if you're on a tight budget, you'll be able to pick up a flash for $100-$150 that could do this trick. And then all you have to do is rotate the head 90 degrees, and now you have side light if you're bouncing it off something else. So if you bounce it off a white wall, or if you bounce it off some bristle board, which is large cardboard that you could get for a dollar at some dollar stores, or make your own, use a bed sheet. But just by turning this simple, cheap flash's head to the side and bouncing it off a white surface, you are now getting much, much more creative lighting. And you don't have to turn it 90 degrees, you could turn it 45 degrees, you could turn it however you want and bounce the flash in creative ways to get really cool lighting. You can make that light softer, you could change its shape, you can change its direction. So much play with just one portable flash whose head can rotate. Goes without saying that you could bounce the flash off the ceiling, you could bounce the flash off the back of the room. Have fun, play, keep on shooting. obviously, when you take the flash off camera by way of a sync cord or some type of remote trigger, like the Pocket Wizard or the Cactus system, this is hyper versatile because now you can light the subject any way you want. Now you can put these flashes on stands, raise the heights of the individual flashes. Now you have full versatility. You can use softening devices, you can use gobos, you can use it direct. And just to get 2 to 3 portable flashes, a sync cord, and some cheap slaves, not the humankind, you have like a full-blown lighting studio for $300 to $400. You can pick this stuff up used. The highest-end gear is going to be way more than that, but you don't need the highest gear to start. By lighting this way with a few independent flashes off camera, now you are in complete control of lighting, and you can easily light things hard or soft, and you can easily light people and products and whatever, and you're in a complete control in a studio, and that studio can be anything from a kitchen to a commercial space, and you'll have the basics to do what you need to do. And then finally, even though this is not about shooting in any kind of light, it is sort of shooting at any time in order to keep on shooting. I just want to talk about macro photography for like 1 minute. In podcast number 37, we really talk about doing macros cheaply. And the cheapest way to do this, although it's not the most elegant way, is a $10 reversing ring. A reversing ring is something you will use for macro photography. Most people use it with a 50mm lens. They'll frame the scene, choosing the exposure and aperture ahead of time. The camera will usually be on a tripod, and then the lens is actually removed to the camera. You attach the reversing ring to the lens, and then you mount the lens onto your camera backwards. Sounds weird, but it totally works, and it works well. The only thing you then need to do is get the subject in fine focus, which you do by physically moving the tripod either closer or farther away from your subject. Not the most elegant solution, but again, $10. You get to do this for $10. You get to play for $10. You get to keep on shooting for $10. Highly, highly, highly recommend it if you've not tried macro and don't want to spend a lot of money. Another way to play. So I guess that's going to do it for me in this 100th podcast. Again, my goal here was just to get people to keep on shooting regardless of the light, and I hope some of these tips helped, even if just a little bit. In terms of other things going on in the site, the whole photography.ca site is going to be redesigned within about a month or so. The look should be cleaner, more intuitive, and I'm pretty excited about that. In terms of future podcasts, those are already in the works, and I have no shortage of ideas, only time. Just realized while I was doing this that it's been 5 years since the first episode was put out. And I know at the beginning I used to put these out more frequently. Sorry about that. Just that a few emails have asked if I'm going to stop doing this at 100. And I want to reply categorically, no, I'm not stopping to do this. More podcasts are scheduled, for sure. And finally, I always like to talk about assignments on our forum, our friendly photography forum. If you've been lurking, feel free to join. I keep mentioning it and it seems to work. We seem to be getting more members and I really like that. I really like the give and take, the share. I'm on there most days of the week. A lot of our members also have like amazing knowledge that they share freely. So I encourage all the lurkers to join. The regular assignment this month on the forum is yellow. Already some cool submissions. Feel free to submit again if you've already submitted. And the level 2 assignment is again macro of any kind. So if you have enough time to get that reversing ring, or you already have a macro lens or close-up lenses or extension filters, please feel free to submit. Always easy to subscribe at the front of the blog with a Google Reader or iTunes. If anyone has any issues, you can always email me at photography.ca@gmail.com. Thanks so much again, everyone, for listening. Thanks for all your contributions. Thanks for your comments. Thanks for your suggestions. Thanks for your support. Thanks for helping to build this community. And as always, maybe use one of the tips from today and keep on shooting. Bye for now, everyone. Thanks so much for listening.